as one step. Chuck was going to talk to Brennan before he left, that we could get, we got a couple of the people that they can put in that he wants that aren't bad. They're no good. And even Chuck agrees that they really aren't. The guy Chuck's been pushing, Hill, you've indicated some lack of enthusiasm for it, and they've been doing some checking. The guy does check out to be really, really good. But if that's the guy he wants, and he isn't really good, we still, it may be better. But George makes the point, and it's in the best of intent, really, in this case, that there's some battles there, too, but overlooking those, that he's got a hell of a problem in running that place and getting the work done.
Yep.
If he makes bad appointments, and they're just concerned about that. And George had a long talk with him last week, and he said, Brennan is very frustrated. It's like a caged lion. And he said, we've got to convince him that his success depends on having good people, some of whom ought to be different from him, that he can't bring just all of the same people, and he's got to have some people to draw on. And then we've got to try to persuade him to get his worst clunkers out of the picture and get some good names into them. He said, I think we failed in getting really good names to him. Because we don't know how to get good people in the labor field. And we've got to work more at that. And so, you got that now. Both George and John raised the point with Chuck that there's a need to clear up the basic relationship with Brennan, too. That Brennan has the feeling, and John has the understanding, he says, from you, that Brennan is different than other cabinet officers. He is not to deal through the domestic council and all that. And that his point of contact with the White House is Chuck Colson. Chuck's leaving, so that means he's without a point of contact with the White House. And Chuck was going to talk to him about that, make the point that his point of contact, as Chuck told him before he was brought into the job, is George Shultz. And that they feel is an Ehrlichman, I think, agrees that that's the right way to do it. But that he can't shape him up like he can shape up or try to shape up the other cabinet. You've got to work with him in a little different way. Well,
Shultz can work with him mostly. Shultz is coached by the
Shultz interview. That's exactly right. And he has to have respect for George. They differ on policy questions and a lot of things.
Not all that much.
But not totally. And
not as much as frankly John would ever.
Well, that's right. So George was going to try and build this rapport with him and get together and get that iron on. And Colson was going to talk to him about the question of establishing, you know, the relationship with George and relying on George and so on. And then move from there. Then Colson kept arguing, let me give him a couple of his appointments back, and we agreed that it would be better let George do that. In other words, for Chuck to say George is the guy we had to deal with, and then let him get some results from George right off. George says, sure, we'll work it out. Take a couple of these guys. They are a problem, and you've got to recognize it, that if you need them, you get going, fine. They all agree that Don Rogers should go in there but not as undersecretary. And Chuck firmly believes that it should not be undersecretary.
There's no business. Because he wanted to go there as undersecretary. Did Brennan want him?
No, as I said. Apparently so. Brennan wants him. I think that apparently, however, he can get him. That's why we're just going to talk to him about that.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be George's opposed, as you know, is not a Rogers man. But he agrees that if
he needs his aid.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. And now we had agreed to go with his solicitor, but now he's come up with, and Brennan's come up with some problem with the guy. See, Brennan, nobody's doing any staff work on Brennan's stuff. The guy he had for one of the folks is a guy who is a college guy, and Shell said, well, I know that guy's position. He said, have you read anything he's written? And Brennan said, no. Shell said, well, let's look up his big army he ordered up from their library there. Some thing the guy had written. Well, the first four paragraphs were just violently anti-human. And this is a guy, for someone that told Brennan this would be a good guy for you to get. Actually, it was Colson, as a matter of fact, who had also endorsed him, because the guy is a friend of Colson, super right-wing guy, but he's anti-human. And
friends of Jesus, and we didn't get anything. So it's a, looking back at the history, there was apparently a monumental clash right at the outset between Brennan and Mal.
Yeah.
And we've never quite recovered from that, apparently. And Ehrlichman has sort of feels his instructions are, and his proper approach is to stay one step away from it and not get into the question there. George is perfectly willing to get into it. Bangler is going to try to do so right away.
I don't hope you hold Brennan on. Thank you.
Secretary of Air Force?
No.
I know, because he's as close to a, I know, legitimate black as we can deal with. And he's pretty realistic. They were giving him a, they quoted that they were giving him a bad time, some of the kids or something, I mean, not kids, but some of the blacks, younger blacks were saying, giving him a bad time about going to the White House. I said, what are you doing at the White House, man, or something like that, you know, playing tennis at the White House or something, to give him a bad time on something. And so his answer right back was, what government program are you on, brother? He's making a point that every black is supported by the federal government. And, you know, he's no friend, but he's sure not an enemy. He's not an all-out. He knows, well, he knows we're here, and he figures he's got a better time of all, and he will take this on. And personally, he's a relatively decent guy. He has heard of some of the kids. Well,
I wonder who he was, and he took those are the Lincoln Day speeches.
Why don't you push the...
Okay.
Yeah, that's better. I really should. You shouldn't get to try and say, you know, Carl and the president would just, you know, just say that he just considered you one of his closest friends and very impressed by this. But then after all, you know, the White House, they developed, that we developed the strategy that the White House group that tell our even much good. And he ought to speak about candidates. So we carry the rest of the subject.
Look at how you carried Iowa.
Yeah, not very well, but
a little more irrelevant, a little better than Jack Allen.
You know, we were fortunate, you know, we
That was interesting.
the State Department University.
Okay, so we finished that.
No, because Rogers gonna fight Bob Hill for the Africa desk to the best.
Africa?
Yeah, that was, you know, come up with Bob Hill for Africa.
Want to pull out from our system for Africa?
No, I don't, he doesn't want it at all. Henry, and also he very strongly opposes Tosca for the Middle East. Assistant Secretary. Henry is lukewarm on that too. He would suggest, I'll have Henry just backed off of it. I guess he talked to you about it. He was suggesting Tosca to Indonesia. And Bob Hill for the Middle East.
Well, Bob Rogers buy that
right off there, son.
Or he just didn't want it.
He might buy it. Oh, well, see, Rogers very much wants to keep Cisco, and he very much wants to keep David Newsom in Africa. So part of his objection to anybody but the CIA is that he wants to keep me in Africa.
Hello? Hello? Ford, how are you? Speaking. All right. Don't worry.